Hallelujah. Let's worship Him all over this place. You're watching at home. We worship You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord God. We praise Your name, God. It's all about You, God. Every effort, every, Lord, thing that we do, God, Jesus, God. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me, if you're here in the building, actually, you can be seated, my bad. I just wanted to welcome you. Just making sure everyone's awake out there. This is your first time joining us here at Calvary Gospel Church. I want to welcome you. If you're here in the building, I want to encourage you just to fill out a connection card. You can find those at the kiosk back there. We do have a small gift for you, just a couple points of information. For those who are worshiping with us online, you can head to that bit.ly address /CGCguest and fill out the points of information, and we'll be in contact with you. We just want to connect with you, and thank you so much for worshiping with us this evening. Couple options to give if you're here. We do have that acrylic box on the kiosk that you can give your offering in. Otherwise, you can give virtually online at a website or text to give. Just text that a keyword to that phone number that you see on the screen, or you can mail it in as always, and you will be blessed. Amen. Who enjoys giving to the Lord? Amen. I have seen the blessings of God. If you are one who did not raise your hand right now, or you're at home, you're like, yeah, right, try it. Taste and see that the Lord is good in your finances as well. I've seen it. I have seen it. I have seen it. The blessings of God. If you want stories, come talk to me. God is just crazy that way. Amen. For example, couch, $500 couch. We just got $50, brand new. Well, it's 2 years old. And anyways, that doesn't happen. But, you know, when the single guy moves to California, he's like, I don't know, I'll just throw it on here for $50. And we're the first ones to call. God knows exact color we're looking for. So, amen. So, I'm testifying. Is there a testimony, sir? I didn't see test. Is that okay? All right. Well, okay. Well, thank you. So, I'm just joking. Oh, man. Just a couple announcements. Tomorrow evening, Thursday, 7 p.m., be here. It's our annual business meeting. We'll go over last year's finances as well as any church business that you want to be here. Next Friday, March 5th, is our all-church prayer meeting, monthly prayer at 7 p.m. right here in the main sanctuary. Amen. Make plans to attend. Join the body in prayer. Amen. And then March 7th, for those who have had a baby in the last however long and have not dedicated, March 7th is Baby Dedication Sunday, just 10 days away or so. And this is the last chance that you have to sign up for that. You can head to that bit.ly link, which is barely legible, and I created this slide, but it's CGC Baby Dedication Sunday. Or see myself and sign up in the next day or two. Amen. Now you can all stand. Amen. Amen. And if you're at home, share with someone next to you something that you would like them to help you pray for. But we want to go before the Lord in prayer tonight. First, we want to pray for Mike. He's having some pain in his legs and needs prayer. And this is Sister Connie. This is Jenny Ronislauser's son. That's right. Sorry. Was trying to read it, and he's been having some pain in his legs, so we just want to pray for him. And then got this, Sierra Graper was taken to the ER. As you may know, she's pregnant with her third child, and it may be possible complications with the pregnancy, not sure. But Brother Dennis put this in, and we're going to believe for Sierra right now, she's there, and that everything's going to come back normal, amen? Amen. Anyone else got a situation, a circumstance you want to indicate by a lifted hand that can call on the Lord? Look around you. Call out those names before the Lord right now. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your touch. You truly are good, Lord, in all aspects of our lives, God. Lord Jesus talked about the financial, but Lord God, it's not about the finances. Yes, that's an area of blessing, but Lord, areas of peace and joy and those life-sustaining things, Lord, in our lives, God, the fruit of the Spirit, God, but also, Lord, in our health, God, in our, Lord Jesus, in our jobs, Lord Jesus, in our relationships, God. You're so good to us, God, as we give everything to you, God, cast cast bring all our cares to you, Lord God. Lord, that's what your word says we should do, and just trust you and believe in you, God. Lord, we should draw nigh to you, and you'll draw nigh to us. And so, Lord, with these needs, we come to you, Lord God. We pray for Mike, God. Lord, having pain in his legs, God, you know exactly the cause of that pain. We pray, Lord, a healing touch, Lord, sweep over him right now, God, where he's at, Lord. Heal him in Jesus' name. We're believing for that healing. We're believing you're touching, Lord, Sierra right now, God. And on the way to the ER, maybe already there, Lord God. You know exactly what's going on, Lord God, in her body. But we come against anything, Lord God, that would, Lord, affect that child, Lord. Anything that would affect her, God, the health of that baby, Lord God. We're believing, Lord Jesus, for your divine intervention right now, God. We bind together, Lord, for Sierra. Lord, bring peace, Lord God, to Scott, Lord God. Lord Jesus, God, I pray, touch them right now, God. You know exactly what's going on, and you can fix it. You can take care of it. You can walk with them through this, Lord Jesus. A little blip in the road, God. We're believing for a healthy baby, Lord Jesus. Come whenever that is, August, September. Lord God, I pray, Jesus, just have your way tonight. You saw every hand that was lifted, God, the need that was represented there, God. Minister, God, to our brothers and sisters, our church family, God. Those, Lord, who are listening online, God, you know the situations. Lord God, Jesus, the circumstances they're facing, God. Lord God, I pray you touch them right now, God. Lord Jesus, over the internet, God. Lord, we're believing, God, for a move of your spirit, Lord, in homes and cars, God, on the workplace, God, Lord Jesus, God. Speak to us tonight through the preaching of a word. Anoint Pastor Jerry. Lord God, as he brings your word, God, speak to our hearts, our minds, Lord. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus. You are great, God. You are awesome, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, so much. We praise your name. Let's worship the Lord together.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. For your mercy never fails me. All of my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head down, I will sing of the goodness of God. Led me through the fire. In the darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. With every breath that I
Why don't we just lift our hands to the Lord right now? We serve a faithful God. We serve a holy God. He's always been there for us. He's always been with us through the thick, through the thin, through the flood, through the fire. He's been a good God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wouldn't want to get up here without Jesus. Amen. You see me make announcements and I can't seem to even read off one of those pieces of papers without just falling on my face. I'm thankful that God is with me. Whenever I'm up here preaching, it helps a lot, Lord, when he shows up. Because if I do it on my own, it's no good. So I'm praying the Lord right now would be with me, with you all tonight. And the things that I feel like he's spoken to me this week, that he would help to encourage you and to bless you, but also to empower you. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to read a couple of scriptures. My title tonight is Unexpected Guests. And I'm going to start in Mark chapter 16. This is not going to be anything fancy tonight. It's just a good old-fashioned classic reminder. And then a little bit later we'll have some actual practical application. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Matthew 28:18 says it this way, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And everyone with me, say amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. Abby, thank you so much. Really appreciate setting an awesome, awesome atmosphere for preaching. Amen. It's so much easier when everyone's seeing Jesus for themselves to preach. So when I read these scriptures, each and every one of you, tell me how you feel, I guess. Can we have that conversation right now? Whenever I'm talking about that scripture and I quote that scripture, those two scriptures, those two very powerful scriptures, what do you feel inside whenever that's read out loud over the pulpit? For some of us, we might feel, man, that's awesome. I got power. I got access to power. And I have a mission. But for many of us, we might feel something else, right? Does anybody in here ever feel condemnation when you know when someone reads those scriptures or you read them for yourself and you're like, oh man, that's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of expectation from God, right? Has anybody ever felt that way? I'd like to see if I'm not alone. I hope I'm not alone. Okay. So I feel both. I feel power, but I'm like, oh no, now I actually got to do something about it. And whenever I have to do something about it, again, I wouldn't want to do it without God. And thank God for these two scriptures that talk to us and tell us that we're going to do things with the Holy Ghost, not just by ourselves. Amen. I'd like to also turn your attention tonight to the book of Luke. Luke, and we'll start over in chapter 14, verse number 16. This is a parable of Jesus, and I just want to read through this parable, and then we'll talk about it in just a moment. "Then said he unto a certain man," you know what, I better back up to verse 15 to have this make sense, okay? This is how it gets set up. "And when one of them sat at meat with him, and heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. To understand that what's happening here, Jesus is literally sitting and eating bread with some Pharisees at a Pharisee's house. So Jesus didn't have a house. He was always at someone else's house. So if you're ever wondering where Jesus is at, he's at someone else's house. He invited himself to other people's house pretty regularly in Scripture. And so he's at the Pharisee's house, which typically are not exactly friends. A lot of times they're trying to corner him, trap him, use his words against him. You've read it through Scripture. The Pharisees are constantly, and eventually they did, in their minds, think that they got him crucified. Just another show of hands. I love shows of hands if you haven't wondered or haven't noticed. But has anyone ever ate with their own enemy? Raise your hands high. Isn't that strange how that happens? Like, there's a lot of things that we don't do together, but food, you can eat with an enemy, right? It's just how it is. Like, if you're fighting with someone at work, you could literally go up to them like, you want to get lunch? And they're like, yep. It's crazy, but here's Jesus doing that same thing right here. He's eating with people he knows don't necessarily have his best interests in mind. We should take that as an example. A certain man made a great supper. So he starts his parable. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go see it. And now if I bought a brand new piece of property, I'd probably want to go see it too if I hadn't seen it yet. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go improve them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, if I had bought a brand new 500 horsepower Dodge Challenger, I'd probably want to go and see what it would do, but I probably wouldn't skip church for that. Amen. I pray to have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He didn't even ask for an excuse. He's just like, I'm not coming. My wife said no. So, just no. It's just a no. And that's funny. So that the servant came, the servant who originally went out to ask these folks to come and eat, and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said unto the Lord, It is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So this is a parable. It's a story that is representative of something that is actually real. It's not a real story. But Jesus made this story up to kind of illustrate the reality of what it is like for him in his own feeling of being the master of the house and sending his servants to invite those who would, that he feels this way. And he's telling his own servant to go out, if my own family members won't come, if my own friends won't come, then go out and get the halt and the lame. And in thinking in terms of the Jewish mindset, to be halt and lame means you can't enter into the temple. It was a bad thing to be halt and lame in that type of legal system. The law was literally against you. Where we have ADA rules for wheelchairs and things like that, even though the tabernacle was wheelchair accessible in all ways, like a wheelchair should have been able to roll all the way up to the Ark of the Covenant, they weren't allowed to. And so in their Jewish mind, this was a kind of like, these were leftover people, people that weren't real completely Jewish almost. Something was wrong with them. And whenever the house wasn't completely filled in with those folks that were like, you're really inviting me? Then he said, just go out and get anybody into the hedges, into the highways and the byways, What that meant is, I don't really necessarily care if they're even Jewish or what. Just get people and fill up the seats. Amen? And so we know, anyone in here Jewish Christians, maybe we got one. But we are from the hedges and the highway. If you hadn't noticed, we're the Gentile church. We're the ones that were last. It first was to the Jews and then to Samaria, which were half Jews, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Like it kind of... Jesus really did want to get his own family members, but literally, Paul eventually ended up in Rome. He went that far. Even Paul wanted to reach his own family, but he couldn't. He was called to the Gentiles. And so it is with us the same way. Has anybody ever struggled trying to reach their own family members with the gospel? It can be very tough. In fact, you might get a lot of rejection. And the problem with this is that so many of us never go back to the master and just say, they just won't come. We sometimes will stay in that position of trying to reach the same person, sometimes for decades or longer. And I would fully encourage you to keep on reaching and to keep on praying. And I've seen miracles after miracles after miracles, even some after someone has passed away, the folks that they prayed for their whole entire life come to the funeral and they receive Christ and they get the Holy Ghost and now they're faithful members in the church, but it took a death. And so it is, it's crazy that way. But I would like to focus in a little bit on the systematic approach of the master. The systematic approach of the master. Tonight, I'm going to be talking a little bit about unexpected guests. So in this chapter 14, in my Bible from Bible school, I have notes all over chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, because there's so much in these few chapters about outreach, about reaching the lost, about lost things, about lost sheep, lost coins, and lost sons. Amen? These chapters are seemingly where Jesus revealed the most about what he cared about the most, reaching and saving the lost. Literally, he said that was his mission. Is my mission was to save that which is lost. And so we all know somebody in this room who's lost, right? I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. Have you ever driven down the highway and just saw the cars zipping by you and realized lost, 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 lost? It can be very overwhelming. When you walk into Walmart and you have outreach on your mind, maybe one of these few scriptures that I've read tonight, is on your heart, and you're walking through the store and you just see lost person, one after another, one after another. Maybe it's that annual Thanksgiving party and you get together and you know that there's going to be that certain relative that you know they're lost and they're not going to be with you in heaven unless something changes, somebody reaches them. So that's what we're endeavoring to take a look at tonight. Now, to turn this a little bit, I'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles 4 and 10. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps or whatever it is, maybe you have it memorized. This is the prayer of Jabez. Pastor Roy mentioned this a couple of weeks back. And I'm just going to read it the way that you would read it whenever it would be up on the wall. Have you ever seen the prayer of Jabez, like a nice photo on the wall? It's an awesome prayer, and if you're not familiar with it, I recommend you to go and get the book at a bookstore or look at it on Amazon. It's a great book to read, the prayer of Jabez, but the prayer is really short. In all of the chronicles the mentioning of all of the Jewish ancestry, Jabez's name comes up in the middle of the monotonous naming of one generation after another, and it mentions his prayer. In the middle of all these family members, it mentions Jabez's prayer. And the prayer reads very simply like this. The prayer of Jabez, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain." Such a simple prayer. It's so out of place in this chapter. Like, literally, it makes no sense that it landed there, except that it caught God's eye. God heard this prayer. And he reminded someone to write this prayer down. The prayer of Jabez talks about enlarging his territory and blessing his hand, and having God's hand be with him, and he would keep him from evil, and he would not cause pain. Very simple. How many people would like to have your territory enlarged? That's a random, weird question. I mean, for me, I don't want to mow much more grass at my house. I mean, that 1 acre or so of ground can be kind of a pain. I don't want to shovel any more snow. I have two large driveways, and it can be rough. I don't like it when it snows like it has in the last couple of weeks. That's not what the scripture is talking about. It's not actually talking about necessarily ground. I think in this situation, if you look at the way that a Jewish house was set up, the way that they look at their household was much different than what we would do. When I think of my house, I think of it as the property. Like if I went down to if I had my house assessed, they would assess my property. You know, what do you have? What do you own? What's the stuff that is yours, the tangible part of the house and the land? But in the Jewish mindset, your house was more of a household. Like when you refer to your house, you refer to yourself, and you also referring to your wife, and you might be referring to your children and maybe even their spouses and your grandchildren. And if you had servants, you were referring to them. And if you were referring to your household, you could be talking also about your fields that you plant. It might be talking about your barns. It might be talking about the servants who work in those fields. It could be talking about a lot of things that your house represented. In modern day, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you go to New York City, in order to be a real strict Jew, you can't really travel very far outside of your household on the Sabbath, right? Have anybody ever heard of that? Did you know in New York City, especially downtown Manhattan, about 25 feet up in the air, there's a continuous piece of wire that goes around the entire island of Manhattan continuously? And it's just a single piece of wire, but it's owned by the synagogue. Therefore, if you're Jew and you're part of this particular synagogue, as long as you're within a certain distance of that one piece of wire, you were inside of your household on the Sabbath, so traveling was fine inside of your household. I'm not joking. This is a real thing. It's a one little strand of wire that circles all of Manhattan Island so that anyone who's Jewish can follow their law. That was the way that they see their household, is that my household literally can be that wire up in the sky. That's part of my household. Therefore, I can stand here on the Sabbath and I'm fine. And so whenever you want your territory to be enlarged in the Jewish mind, it's a little different. And so the word for this that in this translation that I read, which would be Greek, would be the word oikos or oikos, depending on how you would like to pronounce it. Anybody ever heard of the word oikos? Oh man, you guys are smart people. I'm thankful for that. The oikos was an extension of your household, so to speak. It could be your house and whatever you wanted it to be. It could be even sometimes the folks that were in your house. If you were a sojourner or someone who was traveling, someone could be at your house, and that means they were part of your household now. So anyone you invited into your house was part of your house. You were responsible for them at that point. They were inside of your little wire. It's really funny to me when I think of New York City to think that everyone inside of that wire are all those Jewish folks' responsibility to take care of in their house. But whatever. It's one of those weird things. So, Brother Meyer, if you could help me out. I have just a small worksheet tonight. As many of us have been hung up trying to convince people to become a Christian or work on our relatives or try to stay with that person for 5, 10, 15 years, it can be a real struggle. And sometimes many of us that have been in church for a long time will see that our circle of influence and the people that we know outside of the church starts to shrink. Anyone a witness of that? Have you felt like many of the friends that you had outside? Well, first of all, who's a first-generation Christian tonight? Would you raise your hand? So for me, I am as well. So I watched my circle of influence outside of the church shrink really quickly, because the church I was a part of kind of taught that that was the thing to do. You wanted to get away from all of your friends as fast as possible and try to get new friends in the church. That way you didn't have worldly influences. Anybody might have, you might have experienced teaching like that, right? Has anybody experienced teaching like that? It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's dependent on how grounded and how solid you are and how much teaching the church does. But did you know that I think that there might be a better way? There might be a better way. Did you know that whenever someone comes into church, the majority of new converts come from new converts? It's because it's not necessarily because they're new or whatever, they're super excited, but they're actually the ones who know the most people in town, besides just the 100 church folks that might be coming to church with them. And so tonight, no matter how long you've been in church or how long that you've had a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're truly a Christian, the desire for reaching out to someone who's lost is always there, right? It's always there. It's there from the first day to the last. And if it's wearing off on you, it might only be because you are not hanging out with enough lost people. When you hang out with lost people, you'll get that desire back real quick. Because when you start to actually love somebody that you know is going to burn in hell, your perspective on what's important suddenly changes very quickly. And so tonight, I'm just going to have you take a look at this. This is this little worksheet. I'll give Roy mine. Oh, you got one. Okay. We can slow down for a minute. Everyone got a pen and a worksheet? Everybody, every kid, everyone can do this. This is easy. First of all, I would like us all to read together on the back. It says the prayer of Jabez. Let's read this real fast. Let's read it one more time. And I want you to think of when we come across territory, I would like you to think of it as your household. You know, to enlarge your household in a Jewish sense, if that makes sense. Oh, that, would you read it with me? Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And if you have your paper, can you just hold it up like this real quick? Now hold it up to a light. If you see those circles right through that prayer, I want you to see those circles as your household. Now flip it over. If you see your house is right in the center of this, what we'll call your oikos circles, in the center circle, you might find people that you are very, very close with, like your wife, hopefully, in the same house, your sons, your daughters. Maybe you have, like, my father lives with me. Maybe you have some other people that live inside of your home that you've invited to live with you, maybe foster children or someone who needed a place to stay and you had an extra room. You never know. But in this small circle, these are the folks that we know the best. Now, in this outer circle, outside of our own home, the majority of us would be able to look at that and say, well, that's obvious to me. That's the church. You know, your close circle. Your closest circle for me is all church people. I mean, me and Roy, I was at his house and stayed in his own house on Sunday night, whenever we had a lot of snow. My wife couldn't come pick me up after the men's thing. I just asked if I could stay the night. No problem. I was an unexpected guest under Roy's house. Now, in the morning, he seemed like he felt responsible that I was going to eat something. His wife felt responsible that I had a toothbrush and toothpaste, and she gave me a towel and a washcloth. They gave me a clean bed with bed sheets and pillows. What's that? I thought it was clean. It looked clean. So for the night, I was an unexpected guest, and Lois had no problem with me being there. So outside of that circle, there's a lot of folks that will be in that second circle with me. I know a lot of you by handshakes, but we don't know each other like I could just say, hey, can I stay at your house tonight? Now, I'm sure that many of you would say, yeah, that's no problem. And then you would text your wife someone's coming to our house right now. Get home right now. And, you know, whatever. Pick up real fast or get, you know, get out. Anybody ever experienced a situation where you had an unexpected guest? Yeah? My wife would probably freak out a little bit on me. But it's normal because it's just not, it's not something that happens every day. Now, outside of that circle of your people that you probably could ask if you could spend the night if you were in a bad pinch, is the folks that you might see on a daily basis, maybe for an hour or less, or maybe even for a couple more hours. Maybe they're people that you interact with at work. Maybe those folks are people that you know at the gas station, or you see them at the gym. Maybe they're folks that when you're cooking outside on your grill, it's a neighbor across the way, and he'll come over and hang out for a little bit. You guys will talk about politics. You'll try not to talk about politics that will make them mad. And it's that kind of person. So outside of that, now further out are the folks that you might brush up against, maybe for just a one-time-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Just folks that say that they had a flat tire and you helped them air it up. Or vice versa, they saved you. Like a man that pulled me out of a ditch about a month ago. He just showed up out of nowhere. He was just that guy. And he was really cool. But I never seen him again. I had an opportunity for a moment, and I let it slip by. It was, I don't know. I don't know anything about him. But everyone has those experiences almost on a daily basis. And so tonight, Sister Brittany, could you put that other slide up? So tonight, each one of these little images, if you could see that, it's kind of small. But each one of these images represent, you know, the people that are around our household that we are close to. And then outside of that, there might be people in the neighborhood or people we work with or people that we would golf with or people that we're on the same team together at some sporting event. And outside of that, though, then there's people we might go to school with or people we meet at the doctor's office, at the gas station, at the checkout line, at a store, or we hire them to rake our leaves, or they're a fireman that put out our overgrown bonfire in the backyard, or maybe it's just a neighbor that we meet, or barber, someone at the gym, or the guy you hired to put in your sink. Somebody like that. So this is our oikos. I'm just asking you tonight to take a few moments. We have some time. To take that pen and just write in. What we're doing is we're just creating a prayer sheet for the next few months. And the folks that you know are lost, that are even inside of your own home, write their names in there. Well, don't write their names in there, but just know who they are in case they see your sheet. But just know who those folks are. And then right outside of that, who are the folks that you would touch base with on a regular weekly basis, maybe for a couple hours at work? Can you just take a few moments and write in some of these people? They might be your employees. They might be your employer. They could be anybody. And classmates, teammates, they might be just anyone you hang out with maybe 5 to 10 hours a week. Now, further out, you would have your neighbors, your old friends, people you grew up with or people in your life that might you might interact for an hour or less per week. And then further out, the people you don't know that might have a shared interest, shared location, or shared experience. But you don't know them well, but you know them by face, possibly. You see them a lot. You know that they live 3 houses down, and they have 2 kids, and they leave at 7:35 in the morning because when you pull out, they pull out. It's those people. Could you just take a few moments just to write those in? All right. Now, you can add to this as much as you want to, but I would like for everyone to stand up real quick. I want you to look at your list, and I want you to, within 60 seconds, I want you to find someone that you know in this room who knows someone on your list, and go and see if they're on their list, real fast. Deeper than fear, the tide is rising. 30 seconds. Seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, everybody, you can return to your seats. Wasn't that pretty cool that you guys are thinking of possibly the same person, or maybe you went to someone and are like, oh yeah, and they added them to that list? What I'm asking you to do, if you did connect with someone else who knows that person, that you're one of your people or whatnot, I'm asking you to team up on them and try to befriend them as much as you possibly can. Here's some principles that you can do to reach out to these folks that are around your in your circles. Number one, the very best thing that you can do to reach out to people in these circles that you would like to influence for the gospel's sake is have a good attitude. Amen. Everyone say amen. Nobody likes crabby people. They can be entertaining sometimes, only on YouTube though. Have a good attitude. Number two, the principle, and Jesus did this all the time, show up to their life, right? The things that they participate in. Brother Roy came up to me and he's like, I got a guy, I don't know if another person knows him, but he's a train guy. He said, this is a train guy. So literally, Roy knows this guy because of trains, little trains. So show up to their life. Where are they at? What are they doing? Are they just, you know, is there a shared interest or shared location? Is it shared experience? What is it? And now the third thing you can do is invite yourself into their lives. Wow. That is so not 2021, but I'm going to tell you to go ahead and do it anyway. Go up to them. Ask them what they're doing next Friday night. And invite yourself into their life. Maybe you invite them over for dinner or to hang out in the garage. Maybe you want to invite them over to see your crafting set or cook something. Or maybe you want to help them do something that they need. Or maybe they have something that you need. I don't know what the connection is, but invite yourself into their lives. Jesus did this with Zacchaeus. He walking down the street, he looked up at Zacchaeus, he's in a tree, just a dude in a tree. And he says, I'm going to eat at your house today, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus hurried up and got down the tree, texted his wife, unexpected guest. Hurry, 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 get it together, get it together. So, unexpected guest, right? Number four, show that you care about their lives, like legitimately. And not just show it, but actually care. Everyone knows if you're fake, okay? So don't fake it. But ask about their kids. Ask about how their family's doing. Ask about their dog or how their hot rod is coming together in their garage. Maybe you can ask them about their, you know, tell them about your gun you just recently got and ask if they've gotten anything new. And then maybe ask if they want to go hunting sometime. You can care about their lives but you have to ask questions, right? Everyone say, you have to ask questions. You have to ask questions. If you don't have anything to say and you don't know what to do, ask a question. Because that will always have an answer. You can at least try to start a conversation that way. Amen? Number five, live your life with transparency and character. If you're having a bad day, it's okay to say, oh man, I'm having a bad day. Praise the Lord. And then actually, you know, say what you feel. But bring Jesus into the conversation and try to do the right thing all the time. Amen? I've seen some rough situations where there was Christians at a workplace and they were making a bad statement for Jesus. And, you know, you show up later and you're trying to have a conversation and then you involve this other person's name and they are like, they're a Christian? That's the opposite of what we're talking about today. We want to have a good character. Number six is if nothing else works, use food. I almost ordered a Domino's pizza and had them delivered to me on the platform here. Because I promise you, if Domino's showed up with a pizza today and they put it in my hand and I opened up the box, I would have some new friends in this room. Somebody wants a slice of pizza, right? Somebody wants a slice of pizza. And like I said earlier in the beginning of this, who's all eating with their enemy? If you're willing to eat with your enemy, it's pretty much obvious that we will come together for food. Now, look around in driving down Madison, there's a restaurant on every corner, sometimes two or three. It's not because we're just all starving to death. Americans are not starving to death. Americans want to get together outside of their home, and they want to eat good food together. It's not because we're just starving to death and we don't have a place to eat. We just want to get together, right? And so everyone has a favorite restaurant. Invite someone to your favorite restaurant. I think that Roy does this better than anyone I know. Right now, he's got a working list constantly of people who he's going to be eating with soon. And it's amazing because when you sit down and eat with somebody, you can't just sit there, but you have to talk. And talking about life is eventually if they're hurting or they're desperate or they need help, they will tell you. They'll tell you what's going on. Sometimes just being there is enough. Amen? Sometimes just being there is enough. A year ago, you know how you get your Facebook posts like from a year ago? And you're like, oh, I was an idiot. Delete that. But I got one of those reminder posts of what I posted last year, right before COVID. This is what I said. I was thinking this morning about how if we were on a manhunt looking for a lost or missing person, we would have a certain mentality as we went out looking for that person. You're going to want to look under every rock, around every corner, around every tree. You're going to kick things up. You're going to look in places you would never thought to look to find the missing person, right? That's the same mentality we need to have every time that we go out. If it's out driving around in your hot rod or watching people fishing while you're fishing or out on your bicycle or at work or you're walking your dog or even at church sometimes, we are always on a manhunt looking for the lost. And we're never alone. We're never alone. Jesus is with us, amen. He's the spotlight, and he'll show you what you need to see. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." He needs your help. He just needs you to say anything. Ask a question. When you find someone, ask them if they're lost. You don't have to say, "Are you lost?" But you need to start the conversation and see if they are. Find out if they are. Because nobody wants anyone to go to hell, right? So I'm asking you tonight to pray about this and to get ready for some unexpected guests. Be ready. Have a plan at your home, what you're going to do for unexpected guests. It was cool when I went to Roy's He was ready for unexpected guests. I know he was, because no one buys a random toothbrush and a mini toothpaste. Like, who does that? You don't buy a mini toothpaste for yourself. It was for me. He didn't know when I would use it or who was going to use it or whatnot, but he knew somebody sometime is going to come unexpectedly, and they're going to need toothpaste and a toothbrush. And sure enough, it was there. And so I'm asking every family, no matter, okay, wives, listen to me. This is hard, right? But Jesus is asking you to be ready this year for an unexpected guest. Have your family ready for unexpected guests, because if we're going to reach the souls that God is calling us to reach, there's going to be a lot of unexpected guests. Unexpected guests at everyone's home, unexpected guests in your ministries, unexpected guests at church, people that we don't know. And we have to find out where they're at. And so I'm asking you all, if you would, everyone who's got a cell phone, take out your cell phone real fast, raise it in the air. Now take it and take a snapshot of your Oikos circles. And down here, before you do that, in the Oikos expansion, what are the things that you could use to talk to people in your life? For Noah Strand, which is awesome, he talks to everybody, but there's a huge one about Noah. Everyone knows Noah. He's going to talk to you about his hot rod if he gets a chance, and he's hoping that you'll talk back, but he's going to find you. If you know anything about cars, he's going to try to get you to talk about them, right? For you, it might be some other interest that you have. It might be politics. I don't know. That's a rough one. It might be hunting. It might be fishing. It might be crafts. It might be baking, cooking. If you have one of those things, I would like you to write it into your expansion, where there's folks that are out there that might relate to you in some way outside of your normal circles, but it's really something that you're passionate about. Maybe you have fun doing it. Maybe it's just work-related. I don't know what it is, but I would like for you to write those into that slot and pray over those things, that God would use those things in your life in 2021. Amen. If you would do that, take a snapshot of that. We'll all stand. And who would commit to praying over their list just once a week? Would you raise your hand? Put it in a spot that's prominent, but you would see it. Don't throw it away. It's important, right? Well, let's start off tonight just real briefly as the worship team comes. Let's bring our list to the Lord, to the altar. And let's pray that prayer of Jabez, that he would bless our territory, expand our territory in 2021, and that he would lead us to someone who's lost, someone who's in need, someone who needs to hear about Jesus. Would you do that? Would you just come down here and just pray? You can pray at your seat. And we're just going to offer this up to the Lord and see what he would do. And we just ask that God would shine a spotlight on these lists. Amen. God bless you.
Take my hands, Lord, take
Praise the Lord, church. Thank you, Brother Jerry, for a very, just an awesome message. Very simple, but it's very much a part. I just want to add, I'm not adding to what Jerry, Brother Simmons, preached, but we talked about resetting in our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our homes. All of this has purpose. We're not just resetting our hearts, resetting our minds, resetting our bodies, decluttering our homes. We're preparing ourselves. We're preparing ourselves for unexpected guests. I don't know how you run your household, my wife and I, every home we've ever lived in. We've always had multiple guests, multitude of guests. When I grew up, sometimes my brother John can attest to this, we'd get angry at my mom and dad because it seemed like we're always having someone over for dinner. Always, always, always had someone over for dinner. I just want to, along with what Brother Jerry said tonight, I just want to challenge you. This next month that we go into, the weather's getting nicer. When you go out for breakfast on a Saturday morning, call someone and take someone with you. I spend a lot of money on meals feeding other people. But you know what? I've got to know so many people. People let their guard down when they're eating a hamburger. People let their guard down. We just met a new brother just Sunday night. Jonathan. Never met him before. He's here tonight, sitting on the back row from Columbia. Never met him. Came in, needed a ride. Took him out to eat. Shared a dinner together. Took him home. Here he is tonight. It's just how simple it is. He probably would have come tonight, whether I would have done that or not. But nevertheless, now I know when he comes in. I know a whole lot more about Jonathan than I did a week ago. And it's just because I let down my guard, allowed myself to be a little vulnerable, put myself out there. Sometimes you just have to kind of put yourself out there. And just let God be God. If you got the right attitude, God could do amazing things over a hot dog. God bless you. Thank you so very much, Brother Jerry. Take those lists with you. Pray over them. And we will see you back here on Sunday morning. Remember our business meeting tomorrow night. It will not be a lengthy meeting. Probably about 45 minutes. Hopefully be completed 45 minutes to an hour. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you.